for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, April the 2nd, 2010. Diane Stone is the speaker of this service, teaching on blessings and cursings.
I hope you have your Bibles today, because we're going to be turning through the scriptures. I always like to teach from the Word. So if everyone will turn to Deuteronomy 11, 26, and while you're doing that, I'm going to pray. Lord, I just lift my being up to you, God. Lord, I pray that you speak through me and not me myself. Lord, don't let me say or do anything that is unbecoming to you. I bind all witchcraft. I bind all hexes, vexes, and spells that has been put out, all word curses that would come against this teaching or anyone receiving from you, Lord. And I ask, God, that you just open my mouth, Lord, and that you speak through me, that we will know and learn today what you desire us to learn and to know. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Today we're going to talk about blessings and curses. And in Deuteronomy 11, verse 26, it says, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I commanded you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known." So in other words, a blessing is the result of obeying God. If we obey His commandments and His statutes, then we will be blessed. A curse, on the other hand, is the result of disobeying God. So if we do not obey His commandments and His statutes and His laws in these scriptures, then a curse will come on us. So that's what I want to talk to you about today. I want us to see what it means to be blessed, and I want us to see what it means to be cursed. And in doing this, I'm hoping that we can see which side we're on. If we have all the blessings of God, if we're flowing in Him, or if we have things that we're cursed, and that things that need to be broken off. You know, this morning my husband and Jerry both talked about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a main thing. You can cast out demons all day long, and like they said, if you do not forgive, then nothing's going to happen. It might get cast out, but it's going to come back. Well, soul ties are another biggie that Jerry talked on. She broke soul ties this morning, and so that brings us to the curses. If you have prayed, if you have rebuked, if you have confessed the Word, if you've fasted, if you have repented, you've done everything you know to do, and those demons are still there, or if the demon leaves and comes back, then there is a curse on your bloodline. Or something that you have brought on yourself that has brought a curse. A curse takes effect when you or your ancestors have committed certain acts which are contrary to the Word of God. This is an act of sin, which then brings curses on you and your descendants. And demons do not give up. The demons will then try to perpetuate the curse, which means forever and always, for all remaining generations of descendants. The demons will enter in the womb. I don't know if you realize that or not, but the minute that baby is conceived, if there is a bloodline curse, it will enter into that child. And my grandchild, when she was born, one of them, I've been privileged enough to be at the hospital when all my grandchildren were born, but this one in particular, the mother and father wanted me in there. So when the baby was born right then, I took that baby and I broke those curses right then and there. And I lifted the child up to God. And so the child is a very calm child because of that. And I'm not saying the child is perfect. None of us are perfect. But it made a difference breaking those bloodline curses, because I knew a lot of the curses in our bloodlines. And so when they were broken off the child, it set that child free. The world would say that the child inherited characteristics from its ancestors. They would say, well, she has anger because her father is a very angry man and her grandfather was a very angry man and so forth. But the truth of the matter is that all it is a demon that has been passed down the bloodline. So if you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and these things just don't seem to go, or they come back and you can't get rid of them, the next thing to consider is a curse. Turn to Deuteronomy 11:18. I think we're pretty close there. It says, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart, which means in your understanding, and in your soul, which is your appetite, your breath, your life, yourself, your will, and bind them for a sign. A sign is like a flag or a monument upon your hand. And your hand is anything you touch, like the job you have, the ministry you have, and your family, the fellowship you have at church, everything it's telling you that you touch, you have that flag. And it says that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. You've got to know the Word of God so much that it's with you all the time. Everywhere you go, it's constantly in your mind. You're constantly thinking about, I need to eat this. I don't need to eat that. I need to be true to my husband. I don't need to go out here and have an adulterous act. You've got to know it's in your mind so clear. And it says, and ye shall not only do that, but ye shall teach your children. You cannot depend on the schools to teach your children. You cannot depend on the church to teach your children, because today many of you go to congregations that are not teaching the true Word of God, unfortunately. And so it is your responsibility as a parent. I taught school for 31 years, and I would go to church, and they would always say, those school teachers, they're not teaching morals. They're not teaching this. They're not teaching that. And I told them one day, I said, it's not my responsibility to teach it. It's my responsibility to be the example that I go in my classroom and that I am moral and they can see God in me. But I said, it's your responsibility as a parent to teach your children the things that they need to know. That is a reflection on you. If things happen at school that you don't like, then when they get home, you talk about that. You talk about, well, what do you think about this? I had a grandchild not too long ago that came home from school, and they had made in reading class, one of these dream catchers. And so she said, look, Mama, I've got this great dream catcher. And I said to her, I said, what do you think about that? I said, explain to me what that is. And so she began to tell me how this thing caught all her good dreams, you know, and would have them dwindle down and caught the bad dreams and this and that. And she explained it all to me. And I said, well, so what do you think about that? Do you think that's a good thing? She said, I don't think so. And I said, I think you're right. I said, you know, I think that's witchcraft. And I said, I think we may need to just throw that away, don't you think? And she said, I sure think so. So we took it and we threw it away. That's what I'm talking about. You cannot jerk your children out of the world, but you teach them while they're in the world, because someday they're going to be the very person that's going to reach out and touch some other child for the Lord. They're going to be the next generation that's going to come up, and they need to be prepared so that they can go forth and preach the word, deliver, heal, whatever God wants them to do. If you jerk them out of these things, if you don't take on the responsibility of teaching them, then we're going to have that lost generation that none of us want. So it says, teach them your children, speaking of them when thou settest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thy house and upon thy gates. It means everywhere you go, everywhere you set your foot, all your thoughts, all your being has to move in God so that they can see God in you, so that you know the Word, that you can teach them the Word, so you can talk about stuff and that they will be prepared. All right, keep your hand there and go to Deuteronomy 4:9. Not only do you teach your children, but just as I was telling you, in Deuteronomy 4:9, it says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. We're to teach our grandchildren as well. So right now I'm fortunate enough that my grandchildren get on the bus at my house and they get off at my house, so we have time together in the afternoon. That is not a burden for me. That is a blessing because I can pour into them. There has been days where my grandson, one of them, has come home and he has a teacher that, could improve a little bit. So we come home with headaches a lot of times and upset stomachs, and so We pray for that teacher, and we pray for the headache and the stomach ache, and we bind and we loose, and it's gone. And so you use these opportunities. We're to live this, guys. We're not just to come and listen, but we're to walk it out. And that's where that we are children of God. And it says that your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if ye shall diligently, that means to observe like a watchman on the wall, keep all my commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. So, you see, we have to walk in it. We have to cleave to him. To cleave to him is like one in him. And there's going to be things happen all around you that's going to try to drag you down. But you've got to keep your eyes on God. And you cannot worry about the things that are happening around you. Okay, now turn to Deuteronomy 28. And this is where we're going to focus mainly today. This is the chapter that has your blessings and your curses in it. First of all, we're going to look at the blessings. And I want you to ask yourself, as we read through these blessings, are you living in this? Do you have these blessings? It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. You're going to be exalted. Do you feel exalted? Do you feel that God has lifted you up and that you are in heavenly places with him? And all these blessings shall come. That means they will fall, they will light upon you, it will come to pass and overtake. You're going to be able to feel secure, to reach this, to have enough. It's going to overtake you. These blessings should just be overtaking you. And it says, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. That's the key. We have to hearken to his voice and what he tells you to do. It says, blessed shall thou be in the city. When you go into town, does everybody say, oh, there's Carla. Oh, man, she's a fine Christian lady. You know, she goes to the church down the street and, ooh, I don't want to let her see me drinking this drink here. And they'll hide the can behind you. Hi, Carla, it's so good to see you. She's blessed when she goes into the city. The people want her to think well of them, so they don't want her to see all their sins and stuff. Do people feel that way about you when you go into town, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to Walmart? Is that blessing following you? And it says, and you're blessed, shall be blessed when you're in the field. When you're in the field among wild animals and around demonic powers, do they overtake you or do you overtake them? If you overtake them, you're blessed. They shouldn't overtake you. God is greater. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We have power over the demonic powers. They should tremble as we walk in. We should not back up from them. You know, sometimes if you have fear in your life and you go to Walmart and you see someone that makes you kind of nervous or scared and you say, oh, there goes Jane down that row. Ooh, I'm going to just duck my head and I'm going to go this way. And you won't go down the same aisle as they will because you don't want to make eye contact. Those wild beasts should be just like that with you. You should just say, go. I don't have to pick the aisle in Walmart that I go down. I know who I am in God. And that's what I'm asking you today. Do you know who you are in God? Can you go into the city and the people are glad to see you? Can you go into Walmart and not shift to one aisle because someone's on another? And it says, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Are your children blessed? Or are they having problems? And the fruit of thy land or ground. Can you grow anything in your garden? Do you have the biggest squash or the biggest watermelon? You know, I saw a film one time of a group in South America where they had a lot of demonic powers. And when they prayed off all these demonic powers, these territorial things, they had huge vegetables. They were bigger than any other vegetables in all the region, and they were selling them for good prices. That's blessed of God. It says, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. If you have livestock, are they the best? Are they quality? Or are they all skinny and look all bony? I've got a neighbor that has these boniest cows, and they look horrible, and they moo all the time. Now, I'm not a country girl. I come from the city, but I know that's not a good thing. You know? Those cows should be healthy and robust, and you should look at them and say, wow, that's a good cow. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. A store is like a kneading trough, a bowl. And you know, when you knead something, it increases and it rises in worth. And your basket and your store should be full. You shouldn't want for anything. Blessed shall thou be when thou cometh in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goeth out. When someone comes to you and they need to know something, do you have the word? Do you have the word from God that will set them free? Can you come in and can you go out? Do you know who you are in God? Because this is part of the blessing. God gives you what you need at the time you need it. You can come in and you can go out. And that's true anywhere you walk. Whether it's in a Christian realm or whether it's in a secular realm, you can go in on your job and someone will ask you how to do something and you will know. You can tell them, this is how you do it. Can you do that? The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee in one way and flee before thee in seven ways. When that demonic power comes at you, you can say, go in the name of Jesus, and it will go. We didn't have this thing working over here. And my friend Carla always reminds me, speak to that thing. Well, we had played around with this little microphone for probably 5 minutes. We were 5 minutes late getting started. And Carla says, why don't you speak to it? We spoke to that thing and boom, there it went. It worked. You see, we forget. We forget that God has the answers. And all we have to do is call upon Him. He's our Father. He's our husband. He's our everything. And I say, God, we have a need with this microphone. speak to it. If your life lines up, if you're listening to His voice, if you're following His commandments, then it's gonna happen. That's exciting, isn't it? The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou setteth thine hand into, and shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Anywhere you go, anything you put your hand to do, it will be blessed and it will multiply and it will increase. For so long, the church has sat back and said, well, I can't do that or whatever. No, I can't do that, but God can. And it's knowing again who you are in God, knowing that He can do everything. He can save that son. He can save that husband. But that's His business. We can't do it. He can do all things. Everything I put my hands to do, everything when I worked, when I taught school, everything I did, it wasn't null and void. It went forth. It multiplied. Children learned. You know, you have to expect that. And it says, and the Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto Himself, as He shall have sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. See, there's a condition. You can't go out of here. Jane and I can't go out of here and I get all mad and upset with her and just rail at her and then turn around and expect God to do something for me. You can't do that. Listen to this one. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall what? Be afraid of thee. They'll be afraid of you. They'll be afraid of you. You will not be afraid of them. Because it says you can't discern. You can't discern the man of God. But the man of God can discern you. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land, the ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give thee. And the Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in His season. Can you say, Lord, I've got a garden here. I need rain. My husband tells of a time when he was working and he had to get this house finished. And it was he could see the cloud coming. And so, you know, see, this is a witness to people too. He had this guy that was working for him that was on drugs and his life just really wasn't there. And the guy told him, he said, we're going to have to quit. You see that cloud coming? And Tom said, we're not going to quit. He said, I command that cloud in the name of Jesus, that rain to go around and a window to be opened. And it didn't rain. And they finished the job, but it rained all around them. And the guy was in awe, you know. But it set up a time to when the guy came at a later date to get prayer. You see, God uses these things. So if you have a garden that there hasn't been any rain, God can make it rain on your land. Do you believe that? Maybe it won't rain anywhere else, but it can rain right on your spot, right on your corn, right on your beans. And to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And that, you know, that's talked about America for a long time, that we lended to a lot of nations and we never borrowed from anyone. I'm not sure that's so true now. But what about yourself? Are you always borrowing? Can I borrow this? Can I borrow that? Or are you blessed enough that you're able to say, here, you can use this? Do you have the things to let someone else use? Or are you having to beg and borrow all the time? And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe, which means to retain, and to do them, which means to act upon them. So we've got to know them, we've got to retain them, we've got to act upon it. If we don't know the commandments of God, if we don't know His statutes, if we don't know His judgments, then we can't retain them and we can't act upon them. If we do know them and we choose not to do them, then we're being disobedient and it's causing a curse to come upon us. Now, if you're not quite living in all those things I said, that's where we should be. But now let's go on and look at 15. But if shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake you. Now, you'll say, but, well, I don't know it. So what? You know, they always say in the worldly sense, if you don't know the law, that's no excuse. Don't they say that? If you don't know that you're supposed to stop at a stop sign and you go out here and run it, what's going to happen? Trouble. So with God, if you don't know these things, it's no excuse. It says, my people perish because lack of knowledge. So you've got to learn. And if something's not going right in your life, then you've got to stop and you've got to say, God, why is it not going right? How many of you believe if you ask God that he'll show you? He will. He'll show you anything you ask him. Okay, let's see. It says, cursed shall thou be in the city. And it says, cursed shall you be in the field. Do you have all kinds of wild beasts consuming you? Do you have all kinds of demons that are overtaking you instead of you overtaking them? If so, hopefully before you leave here, we can take care of that. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. In other words, whatever you do, it's not going to increase. It's going to be flat. And it's going to be stale, and it's not going to go anywhere. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body. Your children are going to have all kinds of problems because of things that you yourself have done, curses that you have done, or your parents have done, or the grandparents have done. And some curses go back 4 generations, some go back 10, and we'll talk about that later. Some may even go back further. It says, in the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind, and the flocks of your sheep. So you see, instead of having the blessing, you're going to have that skinny cow. You're going to have that garden that the plants just are real spindly, and they won't grow. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in and when thou goest out. Someone's going to come to you, and they're going to need help. Either in the secular world, the spiritual world, and you're not going to have the answer. You're going to say, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Or you'll make up something just to try to make yourself look good, which is worse than saying, I don't know. But if you're blessed, you can ask God in your mind, God, what does this person need? And you can tell the person, I don't know, but we're going to seek God and we're going to find out. And you're going to push in and you're going to know. He's going to give you that answer. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing. Yeah, people curse at you. Maybe a road rage, people going down the road cursing and doing all kinds of things to you. Or when you go in a room, like you go in a coffee shop or something, do men curse? Do they keep cursing and telling their nasty jokes, or do they stop? Which is it? The blessing or the curse? Vexation. Are you confused? Do you have confusion in your mind? Do you have panic attacks? And rebuke. Are you always being reproved about something? Well, you know better than that. You shouldn't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that at your work. Don't you know any better than to do that? Well, I'll just have to have so-and-so do it because you don't know what you're doing. And all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. In other words, he says he's just going to let you destroy yourself. You're going to perish because of the things you've done, because you will not hearken unto his word. The Lord shall make the pestilence, which is plagues, cleave unto you until he has consumed thee from off the land, whither thou goest to possess it. Now look at this one. The Lord shall smut thee with a consumption. That's a wasting away disease of the lungs. Do you have problems with your lungs? And with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning. Now this extreme burning is a deathly paleness, you know, where someone turns blue like a bruise, And it said when I looked it up, a congestion of blood vessels, strangulation, and it says it's caused by anger. In other words, you've heard a child say, I'm just going to hold my breath till I turn blue. That's anger. And it's a burning, an extreme burning. If you have burning in your body, it's probably due to anger. And that's a curse. It could come down your bloodline. Maybe you've had generation upon generation upon generation of anger and rage. And the sword. The sword is a knife. Have you had to have parts cut out? You know, that's a curse. You know, they've talked about it earlier today. If you've had to have your gallbladder cut out, if you've had to have your female organs cut out, tonsils cut out, and I've had all those cut out, if it makes you feel better. I'm not proud of that, but it's because I did not follow the commandments of the Lord. You've got to follow His commandments. Yeah, or you're going to end up under the knife. And with blasting, blasting is any cause or frustration and impairment to cause or to wither or to decay. You have decaying teeth. You have decaying bones. You have anything that's decaying in your body. And with mildew, do you have any kind of fungus in your body or in your house? That's a curse. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. It's going to get you. If you don't take care of it, it will get you. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be as brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be as iron. That means God will not hear your prayers. If you are not going to do His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, He will not listen to you. Not until you repent, then He'll listen. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust, for the heaven it shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Your crops won't grow. You won't get that rain. And you can pray all day long, God, send the rain. I need the rain. And the rain won't come because you have a curse. Because you have broken some commandment or your ancestors have. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and thou shalt remove into all the kingdoms of the earth. And I think Jerry said this morning that that was a scattered soul. That when the enemy comes at you, you will go out in many ways. And the word removed means object of terror and trembling. You will be afraid. You'll be afraid of that enemy. And you will run. And thou corks shall be meat unto all fowl of the air and unto the beast of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. In other words, you're open prey for all demonic powers. And people can pray, and they can pray, and they can pray all day long. And unless you repent and the curse is broken, you're not going to get anywhere. The Lord will smut thee with the botch of Egypt. The botch of Egypt is boils. And with emrods, that's hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids come from anger. Any kind of tumors. Boils, hemorrhoids, that's all anger. It's a boiling inside you. And with the scab is scurvy. It's a disease marked of swelling and bleeding of the gums caused by a lack of vitamin C. So if you have bleeding gums or problems with your teeth, and with the itch, that is a rash. Wherefore thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smut thee with madness, and madness is confusion and puzzling and blindness. That means you're not going to be able to understand what He's trying to tell you because you've got a block in your way. You know, I've heard people say, I just can't hear from God. I don't know what He's trying to tell me, and I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. Well, in verse 23, it tells you that heaven is going to be brass until the curse is taken care of. An astonishment of heart. Astonishment of heart is to be confused in your heart. And thou shalt grope at midday as the blind gropeth in the darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. You're going to roam around just like a blind man. You won't know where you're going, what you're doing. You know, I've had people say to me, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in life. I ask God and I ask God, but I don't get any answers. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. That's a curse. A curse that's got to be broken. Thou shalt betroll a wife. You're not going to betroll a wife, but anyway. And another man shall lay with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. In other words, a man is going to do all this work. He's going to marry a lady. He's going to build a house. He's going to plant a vineyard. And he's going to do all this stuff, but he's not going to be able to enjoy it because his life's going to be cut short. And he's going to die, and another man is going to marry the lady and enjoy all his labor. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and thou shalt not restore thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thy enemies, and thou shalt have none to escape them. The sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thy hands. A lot of us have children that we desire things for, but they're all hung up with demonic powers, and they're all in prison and bound, and that's because of curses on the bloodline. That's got to be broken. We long to see them loose. We stand back and we long for that. And so we have to pray and we have to seek God that they will see the light and that they will come forth. But it's a curse in the bloodline, and we have to find that curse and break it. The fruit of thy land and of all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed away, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees, having knee troubles, and in the legs, and with sore botch that cannot be healed. That's a malignant boil from the sole of thy feet to the top of thy head. Anybody have boils? The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee. And the king here, they're talking about Moloch, that is, and some other kings. But Moloch's one of them, and it says, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy father have known, and there shall thou serve other gods, wood and stone. And Moloch is the abortion god made out of materials made by hand, where people would, their hands would be out like this, and they would put their babies on here and sacrifice it, and they would beat the drums really loud where it couldn't, their screams couldn't be heard. And so, you know, we're going to be turned over. We do things and we're going to be turned over. Thou shalt become an astonishment. You're going to become a waste. A proverb, which is a scorn, and a byword, which is sharp cutting word among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out of the field, and thou wilt gather little, for the locusts shall consume it. Thou shalt plant, and you could take that anyway. You could take that as a literal field with locusts, or you could take that in the spiritual realm where you're planting seeds and the locusts, the spirit realm, is gobbling them up before they can grow and prosper. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but thou neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Again, you can take it spiritually or physically. Thou have olive trees throughout all the coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. It'll drop off. You won't have the anointing you need. You won't have the anointing. What is the point of just praying or teaching or doing if the anointing of God is not there? Because the anointing breaks the yoke. We do nothing. But it is God in us and through us. So we have to be that vessel that He can work through so that things can happen. Thou shalt begot sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. They're going to be in prison. They're going to be in chains. The demonic powers are going to overtake the children. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. And the stranger that is within thee shall give up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. All these things in us are going to bring us low. It's going to bring us to poverty. We're not going to have anything. We're going to have to struggle all the time. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. And we don't want to be that. We do not want to be the tail and the demonic powers over us be the head and control us. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord our God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be a sign upon thee, and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. See, it's a promise to us and to our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. So we have to break these curses off our bloodline so that we can all go free. None of us want these last things I read. Some of us have some of these things now, but we don't want to keep them. We want to get rid of them so that we can live in the first part of this chapter with the blessings that when you walk and you know who you are and you speak, microphone, work. It'll work. When you speak, come out of her in the name of Jesus, it's done. When you say, rain on my crop, or go around me, or peace be still, that it happens. And the way we get this is so simple. Do the commandments. Sounds simple, doesn't it? Okay. It says in Proverbs 26:2, turn there. I love the Word. You know, if it's in the Word, it's true. If it's something I'm saying, it's not. So it might not be. I mean, I hope I don't say bad things, but, you know, I feel better if it's in the Word. Proverbs 26:2. It says, as the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. This means there has to be a reason for a curse to come. If there's no reason, if it's been canceled out, then the curse has been canceled. And we can cancel the curse because it tells us that Jesus died for us and he became the curse upon the tree. And so because of that, he is our curse, and we can break that curse off of our lives. So let's look over on Deuteronomy 27 and let's see what are some of the curses that we need to break. I want you to look down in 27:15. Now, these aren't all the curses. Some of the curses that you may need to break might be personal things in your own family bloodline. But these are some of the biblical curses that we need to break and a lot of us have in common. The first curses that I'm going to read are four generational curses. Verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. All the people shall answer and say, Amen. Now, hold your finger there because we're going to come back to that. Turn to Deuteronomy 5:9. Now, in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, sometime you might want to go back and read because the Ten Commandments are all in this chapter. And the Ten Commandments, we're not going to do this today, but the Ten Commandments, a lot of people don't realize this, they're not only in the Old Testament. A lot of people like to say, well, that's law and that's in the Old Testament. When Christ came, it was done away with. I can show you every one of these commandments in the New Testament. But we are not going to do that today for various reasons. But if you get with me and you'd like to know, I'll give you a list of that. Okay. Verse 9. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And what it means by hate me is they do not obey my word. So I wanted to show you this to show you that these curses come down three or four generations, some of these curses. Turn to Deuteronomy. Hold your finger still where I told you, but turn to Deuteronomy 7, 25 and 26. Okay, same thing. He means business on this one. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. He wants you to get rid of those. And I believe last night Philip may have said this. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is in them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared thereof, for it is an abomination of the Lord thy God. So if you have something in your house that needs to go, it does not matter if it's silver or gold or how expensive it is. It says you have to burn it.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.